Good morning. Today is Friday in October. Who'd have thunk it? The 16th of the month. Joining us this morning is not Karen Deemer from the city of Arcata. So, mystery person, please sign. What is it? Who's my line? Who's my line was in the 50s, right? They would get somebody. I saw Russ Hodges one time be the person, and it's like, I know who he is. I know. Okay. So, mystery person, please sign in.
All right. You want me to give you a clue, or you want me to give you my...
No. It's not about me. I know. I've got caller ID. I got that figured out. Just for everybody else. You want to give a clue, or you want to... And build on that? That might be kind of a kick, huh?
Well, let's cut to the chase, because I'm sure we've got a lot of great things to talk about. This is David Lamb, the Director of Community Development with the City of Arcata. And, yeah, I'm standing in for the big shoes that Karen Deemer fills.
Oh, you know what? That's not a polite thing to say.
No?
No, that she has big feet?
No, she has perfectly sized feet. I'm just following in large footsteps.
Oh.
Standing on the backs of giants. So
there you go again. Now she's wearing clown shoes. You know, you're just going deeper and deeper here, Dave. Oh, can you tell it's a Friday? Yes, indeed. All righty. Winston, why do we say it?
Hopping mad. How did the phrase hopping mad come to stand for extreme anger?
Let's see. Bad puns to start the day. Dave, you got a thought on that one?
I am going to say with great confidence that hopping mad actually came from firewalkers when they lost the competition from, firewalking. They would be said to have been hopping mad.
All right. You got two.
You get an A for creativity. Because if you're angry enough, you will use not only your tongue and your hands to express your emotion, but also your feet. And then you'll be hopping mad.
Oh, like jumping up and down mad, frustrated. Okay, well, maybe that's called soil compaction. How's that, Dave?
Sounds good.
There certainly does seem to be an awful lot of late-season activity going on in Arcata right now. Had occasion to be, in town a couple times a day in the last week or so. Lot of different activities. Is this kind of like the bum's rush at the end of the building season, or is this just happens to be that time of that time and a bunch of things are coming together simultaneously?
I think that, the fall is always a busy time of year. We've got a lot going on, trying to keep the businesses open through this pandemic. And, it's been a great partnership with the city, the businesses, and our regional partners. Everything from bending zoning regulations, creating loan programs, and, work that we've done to try and, protect people, during the pandemic. So I think there is a lot going on.
Let's get to the zoning relaxation, I guess, of some of the regulations. On one side, the argument says, way to go, city, rah, rah, rah. The other side says, mm-hmm. Well, if they can be relaxed, why are they even there to start with? Why don't we just set it at relaxed mode and be as business friendly as all the time as you are now?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question that we have to ask ourselves when we're updating zoning codes. Like, why do we have these regulations? One of the things that drives me nuts is that you look at the city of Arcata, if you look at its zoning map, I'm sure everyone does all the time. We've got this big swath of purple. We've got this industrial swath. It's just legacy zoning that dates back to the early days of Arcata when we had a burgeoning timber industry. And you've got residential on both sides of that. And there are all kinds of uses that you'd like to do in that zone, but you just can't do it because it's zone purple, industrial. We've consistently, every time we've updated, done a comprehensive update of our zoning code, we haven't challenged that thinking. We've just repeated it over and over and over again. And so we've inherited what I would argue is, bad zoning. No one would zone it that way on purpose. And so we do need to take those regulations into consideration and not just replicate them. As far as just relaxing zoning codes, I think the reason why they're there is both to protect the property owner who wants to do an activity and the neighbors who want to enjoy their property the way they want to enjoy them. In fact, I'm dealing with an issue like that right now in the downtown where, you know, property owners is pretty upset about nearby uses. And, you know, it's a little frustrating to tell her, I'm sorry, but this property has a right to do that. I understand you're upset.
Now, Dave, is that triggered by the relaxation or just somebody utilizing their property legally and it just hadn't been done in the past, so now it's being perceived as something that's new rather than something that just wasn't actualized?
It's a perfect combination of both. It's been ongoing for a while, but the relaxed zoning around the pandemic, for instance, allowing people to move out into the the outdoors areas and take their activities outside has really exacerbated it for this person.
Right, right. Well, and I would think it would be a grand time to kind of do a quick sample of the community. I mean, I know that it's a goofy election, so you can't really do it now, but it would have been interesting to be able to poll the community, and maybe you can do one of those Survey Monkey things for folks in the city, and just ask them the city that you see today with some of the tables out on the sidewalks and et cetera, the different parking regulations, some of those other things you can point to. Is this something that you want to continue, or is this something that you're putting up with, so to speak, during this period of time?
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. We're, in fact, planning on, doing a bunch of public outreach, both in sort of Zoom town hall formats and, surveys, and we'll be filming YouTube videos to sort of set the stage for the discussion point and then, have people weigh in, because I think it is important. I mean, in a lot of ways you walk around the downtown, you walk around Northtown, you see people out on the streets and it feels vibrant, even though everyone's got their mask on and they're 6 feet apart. It feels vibrant to have people out and about.
Things are happening. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Dave Lea from the city of Arcata. Dave, as you're looking at signs of normal, or I guess we're looking for signs of normal, and we're looking for signs of needing assistance, do you have like a reference sheet or a checklist or questions that you ask either the business owners or the community members in an area to say, okay, give me some feedback here? Are you doing okay? Is there something we can do to help? Is it that kind of a tangible one-on-one outreach that's going on right now?
There is a lot of that, for sure. When I talk to business owners and community members, I'm really trying to find out from them what, where they're at, what they feel like they need. We did a lot of work early on in this pandemic, spinning up a bunch of programs and as we said earlier, relaxing regulations and whatnot. And a lot of it was just sort of our initial knee-jerk response to what do we think is going to help. And as we've gotten into those programs, for example, we developed a loan program that would allow you to borrow $10,000, very simple underwriting, deferred payments, and the idea was that we were going to bridge the gap between when the feds come in with their SBA program and when they were, sort of missing the mark early on and not getting the programs up and running. I figured that we'd have every single Arcata business come in and we'd be oversubscribed in a matter of days, and that didn't really happen. And so, kind of lesson learned from that was, you've got to ask the businesses, what do you need? we're starting to develop a new program right now where it'll be a forgivable loan program similar to the counties, but it'll be based on job retention. And as I was talking to a business owner the other day about, you know, hey, how would you, you know, would this program be good for you? Can we help, you know, pull your employees through the winter, you know, with this money? And they basically said, well, you know, that sounds good, but honestly, I don't want to be on the hook for job retention because I'm not confident that I'm going to be able to, you know, keep my employees. I think my business is going to still be here, but I don't know if I'm going to keep my employees.
Yeah, and that is a real common, because you don't want to play somebody out as an employer. You know, you don't want to bring somebody on and then lay them off and then bring them back on and then lay them off and, you know, the back and forth kind of a thing. But that a lot of folks have just shrunk their staff either to family members or family members plus a couple. And, yep. You know, we'll make it through at 60% or 50% or 70%. Thank you very much. And, you know, that's what our reality is at this point until, and then project it out to whatever time frame that there is. So, yeah, it's almost like the business incubator model might be something that would be more responsive at this point.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. Tell me more, Brian.
Well, you know, it's a grand time if somebody's got an idea, right, to step Absolutely. Out, because there is office space, retail space available, depending on what niche that somebody is looking for. And if there are some funds available to kind of jumpstart, you know, whether it's with REDEC, traditional funding, venture capital, or this new governmental area, if that's something that will allow them at least to chase it and get things rolling, okay, why not spend the money in that direction rather than spending it on unemployment benefits?
I totally agree. This is a great time for, you know, business startup. It's a great time for businesses to pivot. It's a great time to, you know, take your model and, you know, expand it with the help of folks like SBDC, the North Coast SBDC. Has been doing a fantastic job of helping people learn how to go online, you know, and start businesses online where they've never done it before.
Or even just recognizing opportunities that do exist here. I'm sure there's a bunch of new ones today that weren't here yesterday, just as people are, you know, have got this new reality.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know if you were aware of, you know, those third-party delivery services like Grubhub and DoorDash and that sort of thing before the pandemic, but it seems to me that it's sort of a new thing related to that. So somebody's come in capitalized on that new market.
Yeah. Example. Well, and so, who was it? Oh, I was doing a little repainting, and I don't know how much anybody really cares, but the primer I was using was oil-based instead of water-based. Took me 2 days.
Painting on wood?
2 days to remember to get the mineral spirits to be able to save the paintbrushes. And it just is a little bit more challenging, I think, sometimes than what things could be. But, you know, there's plenty of examples of situations like that are, well, I guess they are just unique enough to be able to make things a little bit different and be able to keep things going. I don't know, plenty of opportunities that are out there throughout the day, and it's just a matter of creativity of who or what is able to make things happen. So I don't know, Dave. There's just kind of a bunch of different approaches that can make things happen as long as you got creativity and the opportunity to be doing some thinking about it.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Creativity is the name of the game right now.
Yeah, and I think sometimes when we're panicky, we don't think, we react. Now that there's a little less panic, perhaps there's that opportunity for those creative juices to start happening.
Yeah.
Does Arcata have a think tank or something like a business incubator? Not SBDC, but something specific to you guys?
We definitely have a couple of different, I'll put air quotes around think tank.
Okay, well, you keep your air quotes. We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll figure out how to erase those. It's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Dave Lea from the city of Arcata. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, by Redeck, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Murphy's Markets, and Baywood Golf and Country Club. Dave, I would imagine during a period like this, you know, a lot of times folks see somebody in your position as either a regulator or an overseer, but not a partner. And I know that's something you guys drive and really strive to try to break down. Have you been seeing some shining stars that are either from the business community or from the public sector that have just kind of, they've knocked you back on your heels and go, isn't that really cool?
Yeah, I've got a number of examples. And I think that when you live in such a small and tight-knit community, you can really see the field, you know. And I think that, you know, we've got a number of businesses in the city of Arcata that have really risen to the challenge, both for themselves and for the community and for the other business community as well. I've got a couple examples that come to the top of my head. I mean, Bill Chino at the Plaza Grill, you know, started putting together takeout box meals for $10. Just simple, you know, no ordering. You just come up, you buy the package meal, and you go. And when I was talking to him about why he was doing that, because I knew he was losing money on it or breaking even on it, he started talking to me about his empathy for, the households. They were struggling. They were trying to, you know, make all the ends meet, you know, teaching kids and then working at the same time and, you know, and then not having enough time to, you know, come home for dinner. So that was his motivation. He wanted to, you know, make dinner simple for these families. In the break, we were just talking about Siva at Hensel's Hardware, who's been a real leader, both in terms of establishing really early and stringent protocols in her store for, masking, hand sanitizing before you come in, and, social distancing. And has really led the charge on that and demonstrated how you can do this right and still have a welcoming business. You know, they were an essential business, so they were never shut down. And so they had the opportunity to develop these practices early on. And I could go on all day long. The number of examples of both the business community and also, you know, our regional economic development partners have really pulled together all of their resources and focused on resiliency like a laser beam. I'm really proud to be a part of this community and, you know, the work that we're doing.
Yeah, it would be, I was just making a couple of quick notes, thinking, I wonder how much more successful we would have been if the fires weren't. Or, on the flip side, how much less successful would we be if there weren't the fires also? You know, because we're seeing the tourist market kind of being bolstered a little bit because people aren't flying because of the virus, and they're looking to get out of the areas that are dealing with the fires. So we get a kind of a little artificial bump because of that, but it's also tough to get supplies. So we don't have a lot of stuff on the shelf. So those are some of the things that I like kind of rumbling around in my fertile imagination, trying to figure out, are we doing it right? Are we doing it good? Could we be doing it better or having greater efficiencies if one of those variables wasn't there?
Yeah.
Just not having everything that's there. Yeah.
Yeah, those are, you know, good questions. I mean, obviously, I don't have the answers, but I think that in general, yeah, we're doing pretty well. And yeah, we could be doing better. I think we always need to strive to do better.
What are you hearing from your contemporaries throughout the state? Are there other ideas that some communities are having that we could kind of grab and replicate here? Or is everybody kind of in the same boat doing the same thing and it just different results based on where you're located?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone is sort of casting about for how to address this best. And I think that, you know, you'd asked earlier, folks see me as a regulator or see the city as a regulator, as a partner. And I think that, you know, we have really demonstrated a commitment long before this pandemic that we are a partner. In terms of the regulations, I mean, my approach is always, yes, there are regulations there. There are rules on the book, and we all need to follow them. But let me help you figure out how to get your project to navigate these regulations. And so I think that, you know, that partnership is really where, you know, we're going to have our biggest impact and our biggest effect. Working with businesses and the community members to, you know, find out what they need to get through this pandemic and seeing if there's a way that we can bring those resources to the table. I think, you know, the programs that we're spooling up, I think, are, you know, similar to many other jurisdictions. In fact, many jurisdictions have beat us to the punch, excuse me, on the delivery fee cap for businesses like DoorDash. As we talked earlier, you know, this is a new market. DoorDash has come into our food sector and is providing an invaluable resource for folks who can't get out of the house or are afraid to get out of the house. But at the same time, they're charging these businesses, you know, up to 30% of the price of the meal,
right,
which sort of eliminates the business's profit margin. They have to be able to produce a profit in order to continue to bring that food to the market. And so right now, a lot of jurisdictions have been adopting these caps on the amounts of fees that those DoorDash-type delivery services can charge. The city of Arcata is going to be looking at one next Wednesday at the city council meeting.
Example
of something that, yeah, we're borrowing from the rest of the state.
Right. Right.
But also partnering, making sure that this is something that the restaurants want.
Bingo. Okay. We just ended on a high note for this segment. KINS, News and Information, Diamonds 842.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Dave Lea. What are the projects that are going on in Arcata right now, Dave, that you're hoping it'll wrap up by the time we get water whenever the rain happens?
Oh, we've got a ton going on. I mean, right now our engineering department is going absolutely crazy with new sidewalk work. New sidewalks, new corners all throughout town, a lot of ADA upgrades and paving. If you've driven down the streets in Arcata in the past 10 years, you know what it's like to drive through a pothole. A lot of those are going away now, so that's great, great fun. What else? We've got the Isaacson's, former Isaacson's car dealership. We've got a 44-unit affordable housing project going up on that site right now that Danco is building out.
What is affordable housing? Is that a percentage of the income, average family income in a community? How is that defined?
Yeah, that's a great question because it is sort of one of those, affordable housing means something different to everyone. When I use it in this context, we actually have a regulatory agreement. We've agreed with the developer that they will only rent those units to people earning less than 50% area median income. So this is deep targeting affordable housing for people who are, you know, really on the lower end of the income spectrum.
Okay. So it allows them to kind of get into the river, so to speak. And then those are rentals. Those aren't condos, right?
Those are rentals. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the concept behind this deep targeting, you know, a lot of these folks are going to be seniors on fixed income, you know, worked their entire life, but weren't able to save much. And so, you know, they're basically living on Social Security. It gives them a stable place to live. The fastest growing demographic in the homeless population, and this isn't just in our county, I believe this is nationwide, is people older than 65. That's a travesty. And so projects like this will help to stabilize those people and keep them housed instead of on the street.
Yeah, that's a little sobering, isn't it? I did. You're right. Something's wrong there. Whatever it is and whatever can be done, I don't think that there's any that you would be getting much blowback about that one. You know, wherever he gets cited, I don't think anybody would complain about that being in their neighborhood.
Not at all.
That you know, everybody's got grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads that folks that they know that could qualify. And yeah, that's cool stuff. You got another one in the planning too? I mean, if one's good, two's better.
One of the ones that I'm really excited about right now is the former Little Lake Industries mill that's on South High Street.
Oh, that got cleaned up finally?
We're just on the verge of getting our grant approved for the cleanup phase. We've done all the phase two work. We've identified some dioxins on the site. We're going for a grant right now with the EPA to grab that soil, carve it off, and that property will be free and clear and ready to develop. And I'm super excited about that one. It's been in the hopper.
That's been for decades.
Almost a decade now.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Boy, you end two segments both on the upswing. Way to go. I like you as much as clown feet. thanks, Dave. Enjoy your weekend. Appreciate the time.
Okay, you too.
All righty. Bye-bye. See everybody on Monday.